it's Larry Goins. How's everybody doing?
Hey, yeah. Larry, good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls. Got a lot of people on tonight already, it looks like. If you're just now joining us, I do these calls every second and fourth Monday of the night and ask whatever questions you have. Some people like to talk. Some people like to sit back and just listen. So we'll be on as long as you guys need me. So if it gets too loud, you know, I'll ask you to mute yourself out. Otherwise, let's just go ahead and jump right in and see who has the first question.
Well, I sent, this is Christian, Larry.
Hey, Christian, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing great. You sent over a question yourself, didn't you, by email?
I sent three of them, one after the other. I thought it would make it easier for you to separate them out and to address them specifically.
It's not a problem at all. Your first question is, once an offer accepted, I send the offer to purchase real estate document. The only escape clause mentioned is the approval of condition based on the 20 pictures submitted. This can be done very quickly. However, although not mentioned in the course, I assume that a title search is done on the property. Yeah, we talk about that in the closing. A closing is done no different than any other closing. Title company and or attorney is going to do the title search and do the closing just like a regular closing. And this can take some time. Does the seller care if the photo review takes some time to get the info back? You know, you can use either one you want. If you want to use 20 pictures as your due diligence, you can do that. If you want to just use a regular due diligence, like 15-day due diligence period, you can do that too. Either way, on the filthy riches deal, the dirt cheap, low-end price houses, you can use either one if you want to. We've actually used both, so it's entirely up to you. So,
but if I understand well, you know, I got the 20 pictures, everything looks good. If I said, okay, let's proceed, and then something prior to the closing from the title search comes up, then can the deal be canceled at the time if it has not been specified?
Oh, well, part of you buying a property is going to be getting clear title. If anything comes up on the title, then absolutely you're going to back out of the deal.
Okay. So that's part of the purchase.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely it is.
So it does not have to be in the offer. It's in the purchase.
No. Well, it's going to say in your contract, especially if you're dealing with a realtor and you're using the realtor's contract, somewhere in there it'll say seller to provide clear title to buyer.
Okay, so that's fine. So as long as I have my back covered.
Absolutely. And while I got you on here, let me read your next one. As I mentioned in the course, Chapter 5, the initial offer is made over the phone to the bank's realtor. During the initial conversation, my offers are going to be low. Since my offer is not going to be in writing, is the realtor obligated to bring the offer to the bank? How do I know that the realtor has brought or made the offer to the bank? Well, you don't really know, but what you do is when you're making your offer, one of the things that you can say, and if you've listened to the live calls, you'll know this, that, you know, a lot of times we ask the realtor, you know, do you have the kind of relationship with your asset manager where you can just give them a call or shoot them an email and see and tell them you have an offer in this range or an offer of X and see if they want to put it on paper? Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Excellent. Yep, that's the way we do that. Okay, let's see. That answered that question. And let me look back and see if I can find the other question. Here I think we are. I will use your financing option. How does the financing work, basically? Whenever you get a deal, you just shoot me over an email when you get an accepted offer. You shoot me over an email along with links to your comps, your rent comps, and all the other stuff, the other information that it talks about in the course. And then I will take a look at the deal and let you know yes or no, or yes, but you need to do this or this, or I might ask you to go back and research this or that. But yes, that's all you need to do is just shoot the deal over to me and let me take a look at it.
Okay. And another scenario that I was looking at after speaking with Nathan, there's clearly some situation where I anticipate that the buyer will not have the amount of money to put down as the money that was put down to purchase the property.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if that affects the financing from your point of view, or not so much necessarily in terms of the financing, but maybe in terms of the exit strategy. What I mean by that is, do we write a note anyway and then whatever it goes, or we just flip the property to flip or forward the property to another buyer, make the money?
Yeah, you're not going to get everything down that you paid the for the property. In other words, if you're only paying $5,000 for the house, you're probably not going to be able to get $5,000 down,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you're saying. But like a typical deal for us might be, we buy a house for $5,000 and we sell it for $29,900 and we get $2,000 or $3,000
down. Okay.
Or we buy a house for, say, $30,000 and we sell it for $69,900 and get $5,000 or $10,000 down.
Okay. So the exit strategy depends upon the deal. It stands on the numbers and how we move forward and what makes sense for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And just look at the numbers in the course, or if you have any problems, you just shoot us over an email, and we'll be glad to help you.
Yeah, no, it's pretty straightforward. And as I told Nathan, I want to make 30 offers by this week. If not, the bottleneck is to be able to contact real estate agents. So I will contact at least 20 real estate agents by Friday.
That's great. That is awesome. Well, congratulations and welcome aboard. I just saw Nathan today. He was in the office all day long today. So he was in working with students and whatnot today. So, yeah, we appreciate your business, and good luck with that. Let us know if you need any help.
Yeah, I'm very glad working with him. On Friday, he called me because we had a call at noon. And he said, well, Larry invited me to lunch, and can we postpone? So I said, no problem, as long as you say.
Yeah,
that,
I appreciate your understanding. I asked him to call you because we needed to go to a lunch meeting, and I appreciate your understanding.
Well, I told him it was okay as long as he told you that you have a hello from your favorite Frenchman since I've...
He did tell me that. He did tell me that. That's great.
All right. I leave the mic here, or the phone. Oh,
okay, good.
My
good,
main
good.
Question I've been addressed here.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you participating. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Got your email. Did you get my responses?
Yes, sir. I sure did.
Great, great, great. So what kind of question do you have?
Another one popped in my head. Does a VA virtual assistant qualify as an employee for any business purposes?
Well, it would depend. Where is the VA?
Well, underlying assumption is they're out of the country.
Yeah. So, and when you say, do they qualify as an employee, in what sense?
For business reporting purposes, tax requirements.
For you to be able to deduct their expenses?
Well,
or for you
yeah,
to have
I
to worry about
pay,
payroll, FICA, SUTA, and FUTA?
Yeah, those things.
No, don't worry about that. As long as you're going through a website like Odesk, Upwork, which is Upwork now, or any of the other virtual assistant sites, you have nothing to worry about. They handle all that stuff. Plus, if they're not even in the U.S., it's irrelevant anyway.
Hmm.
Okay.
Good question. Who else has a question?
Well, I have another one. This is Christian.
Hey.
I actually have two LLCs right now, one registered in Massachusetts and one registered in Delaware.
Okay.
I am using the one in Massachusetts for a property that I own that I am actually selling. The one in Delaware, I've had it for a while. I have never used it, so I was just about to possibly close it down. But before doing so, I wanted to check with you guys if you have any special recommendations. Should I use the one in Delaware, because all my offers will be made under my LLC.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Why do you have two to begin with?
I have two because I purchased some property for the one in Massachusetts. That's when I created. And then about a year and a half ago, after talking to two friends of mine, we were to move forward with the business, and I set up the LLC, I paid for it, and then they disappeared. So it was set up with the intent of conducting business, but nothing has ever been conducted with it, and it's still there, and I'm paying for it, and I'm paying taxes on there. So I was, as I said, I wanted to close it down, but before doing that, checking with you to see if actually it would
okay.
make sense
well,
for
let me ask
to,
you this
to
question.
Keep it.
Let me ask you two more questions, okay? What kind of business do you plan on doing? Do you plan on buying and selling and buying and selling, or buying and holding, or both?
Both.
Okay. Well, if you're going to do both, you need one entity for each.
Okay.
So that may be that you want to keep one of those entities or keep that entity for one of them. Now, having said that, let me ask you this question. Do you have a self-directed IRA?
No.
Okay. Are you planning on getting one?
If or when it makes sense, absolutely.
Oh, okay, if or when it makes sense. Okay. So you're not in a hurry? Okay.
I had an IRA with a little bit on it, and I lost most of it when I was working for corporate America. So I paid the taxes or whatever on this. I just got rid of it. There was not that much on it anyway.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because here's the third thing I want to ask you is, or that I want to suggest or say, is if you have not capitalized that entity yet and you did not want to use it for one of the two, whether it be buy and sell or buy and hold, if you haven't capitalized it yet and you don't have an operating agreement yet, then you could possibly use it for a checkbook LLC. For a self-directed retirement account.
For what type of LLC you said?
Checkbook? A checkbook IRA. Checkbook IRA, you've probably heard the term. Just Google the term checkbook IRA. There's a lot of stuff out there on it where basically you can have a retirement account where you can write checks. But you would only use it if you haven't capitalized it yet and you don't have an operating agreement yet and you promise me you'll hire a professional to do the right kind of operating agreement for you instead of just trying to wing it and learn about it. If you're asking me what is that, then you're not ready for it yet, because I don't like people using them that aren't familiar and don't know about what's called prohibited transactions or service-related parties, and I'm not comfortable at all advising you to use that as a checkbook IRA. LLC, so I wouldn't do it right now. I would just use it for one of the other, whether it be a business, buy, sell, or investment, buy, hold.
Okay, so since I have two, one, I just have one property, which, again, I'm selling. The one in Massachusetts I'm keeping regardless. So the one in Delaware, then, I should keep it, let's say, for the properties that I want to buy and sell, and the one in Massachusetts I could keep just for the one that on which I'm writing notes, then is that what you're suggesting, just to make sure?
Based on what you're telling me, yes, that's what I would
do. Okay. All right, so I'll pay back what I need to, and I'll keep the one in Delaware, and that's fine.
Excellent.
Because the one in Delaware, I have more protection than in Massachusetts, so it may be better for me to use the one in Delaware for the one that I hold the notes. Would that be a correct assumption?
Say that again now.
Delaware has business laws that are more business-friendly, much more business-friendly than Massachusetts.
Then use that for business, yes.
For business, but I mean for the one that I'm going to hold the notes or for the one that I'm buying and selling?
If it's more risky, then use it for buy and hold.
Oh, buy and hold. There's more risk or potential risk
there? Buy and sell. If there's more risk, well, I don't know. I mean, you said which state?
Massachusetts.
Okay, it's not as there's a lot more risk or a lot more stringent laws there. Is that what you're saying?
Especially for business, yeah. When you have a business, the laws are not as friendly as in Delaware toward businesses.
Yeah.
So in other words, I want to use the one
in
Delaware.
Do you have high risk
properties? I have a situation where I can encounter more headaches. Is it when you hold the note that you have more headache, or is it where you potentially buy and sell that you can potentially have more headaches?
Well, let me ask you this question. It depends on what kind of property are you buying. If you're buying high-risk property, which would be like low-end properties, what would be called a C-class property, there's A, B, and C. A would be nice homes in nice areas. B properties would be decent homes in decent areas. A C property would be, you know, like a low-income home. And
ultimately, I'm
going to
deal with
area.
All three of them.
Say that again?
I said ultimately I'm going to deal with all three of them.
All three of them? Well, you know, and then what you want to do in that case is eventually you want to start separating your assets into multiple LLCs. Like once you reach, whether it's 100 or 250 or 500,000 in assets, then you'll start another LLC because you don't want to have everything in one
LLC.
Absolutely.
I don't want to create a domino effect where I lose everything.
Right.
So, again, just to make sure, so potentially I will encounter more, I could run into more difficult situation by buying and selling as opposed to hold the note. So for the property that I buy and sell, I should use the Delaware property where business are more, the laws are more favorable to businesses.
Yes, you're exactly
okay.
Right.
Thank you.
You're exactly right. Good.
Hey, Larry, this is Brian again. Just to clarify something you were talking about there, having separate LLCs, is it one LLC for buying and one for selling? Or?
No. If you're, let me put it this way. One entity for business and another entity for investments.
Ah, okay. Perfect.
So one entity for buy, sell, another entity for buy, hold.
Okay, perfect.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Excellent. Good. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. This is Patty in Asheville, North Carolina.
What's happening, Patty? How are you?
Hey, it's hot.
I hear you.
Yeah. I've got a couple of questions. When I'm running across some ads, you know, like realtor ads or something on the MLS, and it says no contingencies, does that mean if you get a contract on it, you've bought it?
That means they don't want to let you say subject to financing, subject to partner's approval, any of that stuff.
Right, so there'd be like no subject to inspection.
Right, they're probably not going to allow you an inspection. They want you to inspect it prior to putting in the offer.
I see, okay, I got that. And my other question was, you know, what you teach in Filthy Riches is to, when you buy and you're going to own or finance, it's twice as much as you paid for it, plus $10,000.
That's not what I teach in Filthy Riches, but
No. That's
what I teach in a higher priced property.
Okay.
Like if I'm buying a house for $25,000, not $5,000, but $25,000, I'm going to sell that house for at least $60,000, minimum $60,000. Probably I'm going to sell it for $69,900.
Right.
2.5 times.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Did that help?
Yeah, it does. So when I'm figuring things and using the analyzer, I'm going to be figuring on my all-in price, which is going to, you know, kind of include not just the price of the house, but closing costs, insurance, marketing, closing costs again with a buyer.
When you say you're figuring that, what do you mean?
Well, like, you know, like when I'm figuring an all-in price, would it include all of those things, not just the purchase price?
Yeah, you could just add a couple thousand to it if you'd like. And
yeah,
help
yeah, that's
that.
What I'm thinking.
That'll help cover that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Good. Excellent. I hope that helped.
Yep.
Good.
Definitely.
Good. Who's next?
Well, I still have some question if no one has some.
No problem at all. Go ahead.
Okay. When I spoke to Nathan on my call with him on Friday, he mentioned something, and I understand what it is, but I don't know the term. I think he said HVAC or AC. You know those units that take care of the air conditioning? He said,
right,
you know, I'm sorry?
Yes, I do know.
Okay. What is it called? HVAC? Is that what?
Yeah. HVAC is just an acronym for that's the way you say HVAC, which
okay.
is short term for heating and air conditioning unit.
Okay, so that was one of my questions. Is typically those units do both? They take care of the air conditioning and the heating as well.
That's right. Now, when somebody says HVAC, what that means or what that stands for is heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
Okay.
Okay, which basically means it's going to be like a heat pump or a gas pack.
Okay.
Which is a unit that has duct work throughout the house, and it usually has an inside unit, an exchange, and then there's an outside unit as well, or air handler inside, and then you either have that unit replaced or have it checked or whatever if you need to or want to, but it just stands for heating, ventilation, air conditioning. But people call them HVAC or HVAC.
Okay. And he made a really good point because he had asked me to prepare some properties that, you know, I would consider making offers and some that I would not. And on one of them, he said, you know, everything looks good in terms of making an offer. But he said, if you look at the photos, they look old.
Right.
And he said, you got to be very careful because by then the HVAC unit may be gone.
That's
right.
And you want to check into that and make sure, get some. That's the reason you're going to have some current photos taken. Either the realtor's going to take them, or the seller, or you, you're going to send someone out. And you can send somebody out. If you don't have anybody, go to a website like bpophotoflow.com.
B like Bob, BPO Photo Pro?
Photoflow, FLOW.
Okay.
bpophotoflow.com or wegolook.com.
Okay.
Or you can find someone on Craigslist or at a temp agency or get a realtor to do it.
Okay. And that's one thing that I wanted to just one word that I wanted to add to the offer of purchase is it doesn't say current photo, it just says 20 photos, so I'm going to add the word current photos on it.
Yeah, you could do that, or you could just use the inspection clause. You could just do that if you'd like.
Inspection clause, okay.
Yeah, you could do that if you like.
All right. But you made a really good point because, everything looks good, but the trees outside look with no leaves and whatever, and he said, you know, for all I know, that could be taken 6 or 8 months ago, and we can see there's a big unit outside, but it's no guarantee that it's still there, and that's a very good point.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's being observant.
Yeah.
That's Nathan. Yeah.
Well, I'm very happy. I'm going to make tons of calls to realtors because
awesome.
It's really I thought it'd be more challenging to find properties, and actually it's not. It's just a matter of putting the time and doing it.
That's great. That's great.
Well, if no one else has a question, I have one too.
Well, let's see right quick, and then if not, then you can jump back in. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, this is Gary in Asheville.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I had a great 3 days with Nathan earlier this week and have an offer on a house that was accepted on Friday. And we're moving right ahead here, so excited
yeah.
about that.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah, me too. So I had a couple of questions. Thank you so much. I had a couple of questions. One was on this no contingencies, I noticed the same thing that I think Patty was talking about, that a lot of times they say no contingencies, and they're saying don't even try them, basically. And a lot of times I can talk to the REO agents, and they don't have photos, and they're not willing to go out and take photos. Since I'm sometimes working with a buyer's agent, but I hate to ask them to go out because, I mean, when my buyer's agent that I'm working with around Charlotte, we're doing a lot of hits on stuff, but we're getting very few back, and he's working really hard.
So, Jerry, where are you buying at?
I'm buying around the Charlotte area, about 60 miles outside of Charlotte.
Around an hour and a half away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I will tell you this. Unless it's like, I should back up. I've got a couple guys in my office, and when they acquire something, they typically go out and look at it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of my guys left, he left Thursday and went to Albany, Georgia. And in a day and a half, he drove 800 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
But I pay him 54 cents a mile, too.
Yeah, I don't pay that well for me.
Yeah, but listen, that's unusual. You know,
If
you think about it, a trip to Charlotte and back, you know, is going to be 150 miles. That's going to be $75. If you do, otherwise, just get somebody local in Charlotte to go look at it off of Craigslist.
Yeah, I can pay somebody less than that and have them go out and take photos of it. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
BPO
yeah.
Photo Flow and go look.
Yeah, I'll check
that
out.
For about $40 or $50.
Oh, wonderful, yeah. Oh, great, fantastic. So I also check, whenever I look at a place and there's not enough photographs, I also go to a whole bunch of, I always Googled the address, and a lot of times you can just find photos of other places.
That's true. Some websites have more pictures. Some websites have more pictures than others.
Right, yeah. So, and one other part of that is I'm working with a buyer's agent down in the Charlotte area because almost all of these REO agents are requiring a buyer's agent to make the offer.
Yeah.
Is that fairly common?
Some of them do. Most of the listing agents, they don't also work with buyers. So
you're
only agent a lot of the times.
Right. So what I'm doing is I'm calling the REO agent so that because I know the questions to ask the REO agent.
Sure.
And I don't want to have to teach my broker or my realtor in that area to have to do that. I want to keep him to a minimum. I want him writing my offers.
Exactly. Good.
So that's what I've got that okayed with him. He said that's fine. He doesn't mind doing that at all, and that takes that monkey off his back. And it also gives me the assurance that I'm getting the information that I need.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. No problem at all. I'm glad I could help.
Hey, Larry?
Yes.
This is Caitlin in Asheville, North Carolina.
Hey,
I am
Caitlin,
Patty's real estate business partner.
Hey.
Hey, I have a question for you. When you're in negotiations with a homeowner and you've made an offer and they have come back and said their offer is X amount firm, how long do you wait before you might counter or you might think that they may come down a little bit? This is not a smoking deal, but I'm just curious. They came back at one price and then they lowered it for $2,000, and we have not responded. I would say it's an okay deal, but by the time we get into it, you know, we might be making $15,000, maybe a little bit less. What is your opinion when somebody comes back and says it's firm? Do you wait? Do you let it go? Do you kind of do a counter?
Well, I think it depends. Let me ask you a question. How far apart are you?
We are about 9,000, well, no, probably 11,000 apart.
And what would you be doing with this property?
We would be owner financing.
So you're going to owner finance it and then are you going to sell the note or keep the note?
We would sell the note.
Okay, so if you're selling the note, yeah, you can't, if you're 9,000 apart and, you know, okay, yeah, you couldn't, and you were going to make 15 on it, then that would mean you might make 6. I don't think there's enough money there to be able to buy it, sell it, and sell the note to be able to come up. So what I would do, you know, I would say, look, I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. I got a couple other properties, although I like yours better. The other one makes more sense. So here's my name and number, and if anything changes, please let me know. And then I would just put them in some sort of a follow-up sequence with, like, your autoresponder. So they get an email, like, every couple of weeks, you know, hey, just check it in to see if you sold your house yet.
Yeah, that's awesome because it's been out there for a really long time. And, in fact, when I talked with the realtor that listed it, they have not had any offers at all.
Oh, okay. Well, but it's for sale by owner now, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I would just put them in some sort of a follow-up sequence to hit them up every 2 or 3 weeks or every 30 days and follow up with them and see if they sold it.
Awesome.
Good.
It's kind of what we were thinking, but you know. But then again, when you want to grab something, you want to grab it, and so that's kind of what we were thinking. So great, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Okay.
Well, Larry, I have another question, if it's not too bad. This is Gary again in Nashville.
Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, this house I've got an offer on right now, it's been accepted, and it's actually more money than we want to pay for it, and I want to, when it comes back after we get the due diligence and the report back on the property, I'm having inspection done on it. I want to obviously back off of that and try to lower the price.
Right.
What's the best way for me to talk to them when I go back to them and want to lower the price so I'm not offending them? Or
is it listed?
No, it's not listed. Well, no, it's not. Yes, it is listed. Yes, I'm sorry.
So it's on the MLS?
Yes.
Okay, and you do have like a 15-day inspection.
Correct,
Good. Well, when your inspection report comes back, they always have stuff in them.
Oh, yeah.
So just
I'm counting
that.
Just
use that inspection report as your ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And go back in and ask for a discount based on the items that you either weren't aware of or the additional items that were worse than you thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
But throw them a little bone and say, hey, although we're not as concerned about this, 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 and this, which may cost us up to X, we really are concerned about this, 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 and this, which
gotcha.
Cost us a lot more than anticipated. So
great.
We really do need to get a reduction in the price, or unfortunately, we're going to have to back out of the contract. However, if you can make an adjustment in the price, you know, we'll give a little bit if you'll give a little bit. We'll accept
mm-hmm.
the other items if you'll make an adjustment based on these second group of items, and we'll go ahead and move forward and close as agreed.
Good.
How you like
very
that?
Good. I like that a lot. Thank you.
Good. You're very welcome. It always helps to throw them a bone, too.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. And just use the inspection. Hey, if it was up to me, I would do it, but, you know, inspection just came back and killed us. So
mm-hmm.
let me help you.
Right.
There you go. That's good.
Wonderful. Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry. This is Meg.
Hey,
I have a
Meg.
Question
how
for
you. Have you been?
I am doing great. Busy? Happy?
Did you get some of your
excited?
Houses sold?
My houses are sold.
You are nice. The bomb. That's awesome. You came to my office about a month ago, and how many houses did you buy so far?
I have my third and fourth houses under contract this week.
That's awesome. I love it.
Having a great time.
That's great. It's a lot of
so,
fun, isn't it?
It is fun. It is so much fun. And I have raised another $100,000 in private money for this business plan. And I have two people that I work with who want to come into the business with me. So I'm thrilled.
Now, if you don't mind, let me share what you're doing with everybody, and then I want you to tell me what you're doing with your private money, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so what Meg is doing, she's buying houses. single family and double wides, and you're paying like maybe $25,000 or $30,000, and then you're
like
around 30, then you're turning around and selling them for say $69,900, $79,900, something like that, and you're getting
85
about 5 or 10 down, right?
Yeah, 85,000 with 4,000 to 5,000 down.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. You know, Meg, just to let you know, one of the things I started doing is I started having my guys ask for more down payment. And I've had them start to ask for shorter term. Hey, how would you like to pay this loan off in 15 years instead of 20?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, the payment's going to go up about $70, but the difference is about $4,000 or $5,000 in how much you can sell the note for.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Good. So I just wanted to give you that heads up. So now I want you to tell me what your what are you using the private money for?
I am using the private money for buying. So, sorry. This is going to sound weird. When I have an offer on a house for $30,000 and $30,100,
right?
I've been able to raise private money for like $35,000 or $40,000,
right?
And then you know I don't need the extra money, so I just it's just in the bank. And so every fourth or fifth house, I figure I'll just be able to buy it for a loan, you know, that I got last month or the month before
without
that.
Without a loan on that house, yeah.
Yes. So it's making my bank account look better. It makes me look better to the sellers. It makes me look better to other lenders whose money is less expensive. And I've actually been able to improve my credit rating. And I have a new private lender who's, you know, lending at 7% instead of, you know, 12 or 15 or 10
wow.
or 9 or any
them?
Of those guys. Hey, pardon?
How did you find them?
I'm on the phone all day, Larry.
Really? Now, so it's a private lender.
It's a private lender, friend of a friend, networked into whatever. And so, you know, when I had not started the business yet, he didn't want to talk to me. But he's like, by the time you've done 5 of these, I want to be your guy. So, okay.
So if he's loaning you money at 7%, what are your terms? Are you stretching it out for a long time, or are you trying to get them paid off as soon as possible?
So he's doing a 3-year note.
Uh-huh.
And I'm obviously going, you know, my deals with my buyers are much longer than that. So you know, it eats up quite a bit of the short-term income. But
you're just about break even on the front end, but you're going to have it paid off in 3 years.
Right, and every once in a while you sell one of the notes, and that helps you pay several of them down quite a bit. So it's a nice arrangement.
That's good. Meg, thank you so much for sharing your success and your model with everybody else on here. So now, what kind of question do you have?
So here's my question. My sister, who lives in California, wants to come to the Carolinas to visit me and talk about the business and see if she wants to invest her money with me and blah, 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 blah. And she's in town. We're here in Charlotte for the 4th of July. The question is, what do we do for the 4th of July to impress my out-of-town investor?
What do you do for the 4th of July to impress your out-of-town investor? Wow. Well, don't do what Wendy did. Wendy took her investor all over Charlotte looking at properties, and they were at a stoplight and saw a gunfight. You know?
Okay, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So I don't know. For the 4th, I would just Google it, see what's going on in Charlotte for the 4th of July, see what's happening. But, you know, you might want to take them in, and I don't know, your properties are out of Charlotte, so you probably don't want to take them on a road trip to see the properties. But, you know, but you could, you know, if they're here like during a RIA meeting, if they're here for that, you could take them to a RIA meeting, you know, bring them by the office if you want to introduce them to me and what we got going on. If you would like to, you're welcome to do that since you're, you know, inner circle and you've been to the office anyway. You're welcome to do that. But outside of that, I would just Google it and see what's going on.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
Awesome. Awesome. Good luck with that. Let me know how those deals go.
Okay, I will.
That's great. Who else has a question?
Well, this is Christian again.
Hey, Christian.
Julie mentioned a couple of things that raised a couple of questions for me.
Okay.
First of all, if you don't have recent photos, you kind of moved on that, and you say, well, you can always have those BPO photo flow or wegolook.com.
Right.
This assumes that they can get in the property.
Right, right. They'll be able to get in the property. Either a realtor meet them out there, or you have the lockbox code, one or the
okay.
other.
So those properties, when they are REO owned, they typically have lockbox on them?
Yes, all of them have lockbox.
Okay, I did not know that, so that's a good point. Okay.
Yes.
Another point that he brought up, that that's the first time I hear that, so you need a buyer's agent. In other words, if I make an offer, I will still have a realtor to transact on my behalf?
Yeah, well, you're going to call the listing agent typically, and when you call the listing agent about the property, and then if they tell you that they don't work with buyers, you can say, well, who's the best agent in your office that I should put my offer in through?
Okay. All right. So you spread the wealth there at this office.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't like for them to tell me that they don't work with buyers. You know, I mean, why would you not work with a buyer? All you got to do is put the offer in, and you get all the commission. So it baffles me. But
yeah, that's right, because they ultimately split their commission.
Yeah, they have to give up half the commission. So I act like Columbo. I act like I'm confused. You know, wait a minute, help me out. I'm a little confused. What you're saying is I got you on the phone. I'm calling about your listing, but since you don't work with buyers, I need to find another agent that doesn't know the property as well to submit the bid so you can give them half your commission as opposed to keep it all. I'm confused. Am I missing something?
Yeah.
You know, and if they say, yes, you're correct, that's right. Well, okay, I guess. Who's the best agent in your office?
Okay.
That's what I tell them. Then that really insults them. Who's the best agent in your office? They can't say, well, it's me, because they just told me that they don't want to work with me.
Okay,
you like
good.
That, huh?
I like that.
That's good. Good. I hope that helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good, good.
If no one else has a question, I have one also. I'm not sure I completely understood that. I went to some kind of a local meeting, real estate investors meeting, and apparently if you buy and flip or if you buy and sell, you know, if you do that on a regular basis, from a tax point of view, you could be considered a seller or dealer, as opposed to, I did not really catch up exactly what they were saying. So apparently they say you have to be careful because you could be taxed differently based on the money you make if the state considers you, I think according to my note, it's a seller as opposed to be, and I missed what the supposed to
no,
be.
No, I'm gonna explain that to you.
Okay,
if
so you know what I'm talking about.
If you are buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling, you are a dealer. There's no question about it. There's no way around it. The only what that means is you're going to be your property is not a capital investment, and then you can't take long or short-term capital gains. Your property is inventory. It's no different than buying and selling cars or buying and selling vacuum cleaners or owning a convenience store and buying and selling cigarettes.
Okay.
It's if you're a dealer, if you do buy, sell, you are in the business of real estate, not in the investments. And if you buy a house for $50,000, you sell it for $60,000, $50,000 was the inventory, $60,000 was the net proceeds, minus your expenses like commissions, marketing, closing costs, vehicle expense, office overhead, and all that good stuff. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Just realize that that's another reason that you want to have your buy-sell business in one entity and your buy-hold investments in another entity. So your buy-hold investments do not get classified as a dealer.
Okay, if they get classified as investment.
That's exactly right. And then you can take long-term capital gains.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When you sell it down the road.
So investment, it's long-term capital gain, so right now it's 15% tax.
Well, 15%, well, it depends on your tax bracket, but if it's in a C-Corp, the first $50,000 is taxed at 15%. But it depends on your tax bracket, too, if it's an LLC. Could be 15%, just depends on your tax bracket.
Well, as I grow my business, my accountant and or your accountant or whatever, you know, but I just wanted to be aware of that as I grow the business. So, okay, so I know now exactly what they meant. And at the time, it was crowded, it was noisy, and I was not really sure I understood. But now I'm very clear on it. So
excellent.
That reinforces the fact of what we discussed earlier. I'm going to keep my LLC, keep one for investment and one for buy and sell. That will
excellent.
Keep things
good
super
idea,
simple,
Christian.
Clean,
good idea.
And up to par. Okay, super.
That's great. Good. I hope that helped.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad I could help. Who's next?
Hey, Larry, it's Patty again. I have another question. The other thing that I've seen is sometimes the listing will say that if it's an investor all-cash deal, that the property cannot be resold again for 2 months, for 60 days. Is that a Fannie Mae?
Probably.
Okay.
It probably
so
is.
Most Fannie Mae's will do that?
Fannie Mae is the only one I know of right now that's doing it.
Occasionally, okay.
Not every time, but occasionally, you can strike through that in the contract, and it'll go through and initial it, and it'll go through.
Okay.
But a lot of times it won't. But you just have to try it.
Okay.
What do you mean by strike through? You remove it, or
in
you just
words,
strike through
says,
it, and they can see that you're striking it?
If there's a clause in the contract that says you cannot sell this property for 60 days, at a profit of more than 10%, you draw a line through it and initial it.
And you let them react to it?
Correct.
Cool.
Correct. Did that help, Patty?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I believe it is a Fannie Mae, so
yeah,
good.
It probably is.
Yeah. Good thing to know because there are a couple other Fannie Mae's out there that I was looking at, and you know it didn't say it up front, but I would imagine the contract probably has it in it.
Right, it probably
okay.
does.
Okay, good.
Good. I'm glad I could help.
Yep.
Who's next?
Hey Larry, it's Michelle.
Hey Michelle, how are you?
Hey, good. Hey. I had a quick question. It's a simple question, actually, for you. HUD, how many days is it for the investors actually to come on board? Is it 15 or 22?
Well, that's a really good question, Michelle. And the answer is it depends. It depends on the property. I've seen some that were 30. I've seen some that were 15. And I've seen some that were available to investors day one. So now,
okay.
having said that, most of them are 15. However,
okay.
In some parts of the country, most of them are zero right now. But
okay.
As long as when you go to HUDHomestore.com and you're only searching for buyer type of investor, it doesn't really matter. Just don't look at the owner-occupant ones or that are available
okay.
only to owner-occupants. Only look at
right.
the ones that are available to investor, and it's irrelevant. You don't even know the other ones exist until they're available to you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that's in the search criteria on that anyway. But I was just thinking, like, if I could just jump on it, because sometimes other sites will show, you know, or MLS will show the HUDs. But then, you know, you'll look for a HUD, and then all of a sudden, you know, I try to look for it, you know, in the store, the home store, and it won't show there. And then, you know, also I had, but it wasn't quite up to, like, the 21st or 22nd day because I had a real, my realtor that I have, he said, well, yeah, you have to wait until that 22nd day before investors can actually do it.
Well,
and
here's the reason that it doesn't show up on HUDHomestore.com. The very next day after they accept a bid, they pull it off the website.
Okay. Okay.
So it may still show up on Realtor.com or Zillow as a listed property, but it comes off of HUDsHomeStore.com because they no longer accept bids because they have accepted a bid.
They accepted one. Okay. So, yeah, so the HUD Home Store is really the viable best way to go.
Yeah, that's the reason it's no longer on there.
Okay. All right.
Good.
That makes sense to me, too. And then that would help out anyone knock out all the 15-day, 22-day, you know, questions.
Exactly. So did that help?
Yep, sure did.
Good. Did you get your bandit signs in yet?
No, we haven't got those in yet, but we actually had an old realtor sign that was in our thing, so we got that done today. We got that changed out, and I've had, like, the police, you know, search the area pretty good this whole weekend, so I'm having them going in and out because we had, some guy hanging around, I guess, leaving feces and everything on the property.
Right.
So... it looked like, though, they decided not to put up their little porch, roosters thing so they can drink their beer and all that. I haven't seen any new clothing, no new beer cans, no nothing. So,
well, that's a good sign.
Pretty good job this weekend, yeah.
That's good. That's a good sign. Good.
Exactly. Real good sign. So we got all that taken care of, and then we got our new sign, into the window and all that. And then plus our neighbor lady. She told us that our for sale sign had dropped and all that. So she said she went and put it back up and did some extra little touches on it because she thought it was a little too faded. So I was like, ooh, thank you.
that's good.
Yeah, so we got good neighbors that are, taking care of, watching the property and this and that too. So it's really good. But she had the trespassing thing going. So at least from like 8 p.m. to 7 a.m., I have that in force. So.
Yeah. Good.
Keep those guys out and gone. I think we finally did enough police presence. They wanted to make a move.
Well, good. That's
but
good.
Other than that, get our signs. Get our signs.
Good. Well, you'll get it sold.
Yeah, I still got a pretty good buyer. I don't know. He's getting kind of quirky on me, but this other new buyer came in from Facebook. Actually, he's a realtor I knew through Facebook. And he's coming, and he's wanting to actually do a walkthrough, and he's a pretty good, bigger rehab dude. So
Good. That's what you need with that property. It needs a lot of work.
Yep, exactly. So, and he knows it's $30,000. I mean, I gave him exactly everything, totally what was wrong with it, plus extra pictures. And he's still wanting to come before, so.
Good. He still wants to look at it anyway.
Yeah.
That's
funny. I was like, whoop. Okay.
Well, good.
Fish
well, good. Well, good luck with it. Let me know how it goes.
Yep, that'll be great. But, yeah, I appreciate everything.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Who's next?
Hey,
Larry, I have a quick
comment
to pick up on what you just said. I've noticed that if I look at a property on Zillow, Hotpad, and Realtor.com sometime, it doesn't show on all of them, and what I kind of assume is that I say, well, maybe it's under contract and an offer was made, and I think that's what happens. Some sites update their information faster than others. So, if I open three windows, I just copy and paste the address. I have the information very quickly, so it's a matter of being organized, but sometimes it avoided me wasting some time in looking at the listing agent and this and that when I did not see the property listed. I assume that, it wasn't the contract. So I just put a file on an Excel spreadsheet, said check in a week to see if that's the case. But at least I didn't spend time in trying to get the contact information and this and that.
You were correct, but you're better off just
to
search on Realtor.com. That's going to be the most current, up-to-date information. And then a day or two later, it hits Zillow.
Yeah.
And on a site like Hubzoo, once a bid is accepted or the auction ends, it's pulled off of there also. So you're better off if you're going to search other sites of a property instead of typing in the address in each individual site, just Google the address, and the sites that it'll come up on will come up in the Google search. Okay?
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Who was next?
Hey, Larry, on bandit signs, if I'm investing
or have invested and am selling out of my area, is it a good idea to get a local number or an 800 number for my bandit signs?
If you, in my opinion, my suggestion and opinion would be, if you're buying in a lot of different areas and markets, get a toll-free number. And
okay.
I get mine at tollfreenumbers.com.
Okay.
And if you're not buying in a lot of different areas where there's a lot of different area codes, just get a local number.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah, and we use a service called Freedom Voice.
Okay, oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Freedomvoice.com. That's what we use.
Okay, cool.
Good, good. Who's next?
Well, the advantage of Freedom Voice, which I used in the past, they also send you a, if you miss something, they also send you a, an SMS or they send you an email. So you also have a record of that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had a lot of really good questions. We've had a lot of participation tonight, too. This is good. Anybody else have a question?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I want to have my first deal within my first offer accepted within the next 10 days. So
that's great.
I just started to.
How many offers are you making a day?
I'm sorry?
How many offers are you making a day?
Starting tomorrow, 10 at least. I just joined your group here.
So that'll be
in
1 in 100.
I just had my call with Nathan.
Right.
And I like him. He's pretty cool. And I think he's coming to Massachusetts next week. So we're planning on getting together.
That's great. Nathan is a great guy. He really is.
All right.
He sends me testimonials every week from his students.
Okay, well, he will have one for you with my name on it very soon.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. We're lining our conference room with them.
Good, good.
That's good. Thanks for your business. Anybody else have a question?
Well, actually, I do. I'm looking at the email that, confirmed the call for tonight. And there is a link. Visit this page. Password is IC1, I guess, for previous calls.
Right.
Is there any type of transcript of those calls that would make it faster to go through the question as opposed to, we've been on the phone.
We don't
for
have
an
them
hour,
transcribed, but we do have
of
the audio.
The various type of main question at some point in time that were discussed or point covers during those calls?
That's a really good point. Let me take a look into that and see what it would take to transcribe the calls. It might be a little bit more difficult only because there's so many voices, and it makes it a little more difficult to do it fast. So we would probably have to have someone manually do it.
Yeah, but maybe cover the main question and maybe group them or something, because if
you
sit on every call for whatever they last, if you have a transcript of all the questions we covered, maybe it could be just covered in 2-3 pages as opposed to an hour.
That's a good point. I'll
plus.
Look into that. Thanks for mentioning that.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I really appreciate all you guys being on tonight. You guys have had some really, really good questions. And just remember that we appreciate your business. And if there's anything at all that we can do to help you in between these calls, either call me at the office, 803-831-0056, or just shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com and be sure and write Inner Circle in the subject line. So thank you guys so much for being on here tonight. It's been great. You guys had some great questions. I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Okay, and if you come to Massachusetts, you call me.
That sounds good.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a good night.